One thing I forgot to tell you about the magic book here that Nancy pointed out, I told you that the graphic is hand-painted, but I didn't tell you who it was. And I can't believe I didn't tell you. Now, does anybody know? Lakshmi, yes. And what does Lakshmi represent? Abundance. She's in charge of prosperity, money. If you look at her hands, there's coins coming out of her palms. A never-ending supply of abundance. So that was another reason I like this, is that that picture is thousands of years old and is a loaded archetype. In other words, it is a charged symbol. So having this on your magic journal is very, very powerful. It's like she's blessing it. She's welcome to whatever you want. She's totally open. You know, she's ready to receive your request. She's your connection to the divine. She's supplying it to you. No shortage, total abundance. Anything goes. So you don't even need a shot of tequila. So warm yourself up. You've got Lakshmi on your side.
I actually wanted to take the conversation back before the break. And I thought maybe you might want to talk about the dangers of what happens when you're not paying attention to the signals.
Oh, interesting.
Such as what you and Narissa experienced in December. I don't know if you want to share that with the group.
Are you talking about the deer?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you. So Suzanne asked something interesting. She asked, what happens, or what about what happens when you don't pay attention to the signals? And she's referring to what happened to us in December when we were driving in my brand new BMW, which had only been a few months old, and hit a deer. And hopefully you've never hit a deer, never will hit a deer, but when you hit a deer, there's all kinds of things that happen, everything from you could be killed, because it's depending on your car you're in and how they hit you and so forth, or how you hit them, it's a very dangerous situation. And then, of course, there's the, you know, the emotional impact of killing an animal, which we are animal lovers. We don't want to do that. And then there's the confusion, I guess, psychologically, like, why did that happen? How did we attract it? What's the story with this? And I'm searching in my mind, because right now I've dismissed and forgotten a large part of it. So I remember, as I'm thinking about this right now, that I was very confused. I was upset. I mean, it was my baby, my brand new car, a car that I paid $90,000 for, that was made for me overseas, and I watched it being made online. I would go every day and see it being made. So, and the only other person to touch it, besides the people making it, were the people who unloaded it and put it in the dealership. And then I went to pick it up, and it had 8 miles on it. So it was very much connected to me. So it was an emotional vehicle in a lot of ways. And so to have it damaged by a deer, it was confusing. It's like, how can the guy who writes books about the attractor factor, you know, create this and attract this into my life? Very confusing. Got even more confusing when I called the insurance company to find out what I had to do to get it covered. And to my astonishment, I found out I had no insurance. None. Apparently, I've had the same insurance company for 30 years. Life insurance, the car insurance, the whole thing, 20, 30 years. Apparently, one of their bills didn't get paid, and they never told me. They just let it slide. And that was at first, when they first told me you didn't have insurance, I just laughed it off. It was like, no, that's just a mistake. You're looking at the wrong file. Here's the right number, and so forth. So once I realized that we really didn't have insurance, then I was angry, then I was perplexed. I'm the one who pays the bills, so somehow it fell through the cracks. I've never had anything fall through the cracks. I didn't even get the bill. But that was, you know, all they said, this company, which is Allstate, gladly go ahead and say Allstate, been with Allstate for 30-some years, and Allstate pretty much decided, they said, if somebody doesn't renew their policy, we just assume they went to somebody else. That's all they assume. Yeah, they don't call up, they don't send out another email or a mailer or anything like that, which to me, from a business standpoint, we know in marketing and so forth, we'd be following up. You know, you're losing a customer. It's in our service to keep this thing going. It's in their best interest to check with me. They didn't do all of that. They weren't apologetic at all. They wanted me to renew, which would have cost a lot of more money because now I was considered uninsured. You know, so besides having the accident, which is not going to be covered now, and it's thousands of dollars on this new car, which is going to come directly out of my pocket. And, of course, it has to be done by a special dealership because this is a BMW, a luxury car. It's a luxury sports car. Narissa pointed out once that the car costs more than a lot of people's houses, and to get it fixed was pretty heavy duty. So I went through all of that, and once I realized that I had to take responsibility for it, I took responsibility for it. But I was still perplexed to why. What was the signal here? What was the message here? why did I hit a deer? What was in it for the deer? What was in it for us? You know, what happened here? And it really seemed to be that this deer, now I'm going to talk in the most woo-woo, metaphysical, universal, we're going to leave Joe behind after this because because he's off the charts. He's already drinking the tequila, apparently. But it really felt like this deer sacrificed its life to tell us, you don't have car insurance. We could have been in a different kind of accident, found out we didn't have insurance, and could have been wiped out horribly financially. So once I realized I had to have insurance, first of all, I'll take care of the car, just go, you know, whatever it takes, I'll pay it, just go ahead, I've got to do it. Just own responsibility. It's the key to working in the universe, you've got to take total responsibility for everything that's occurring, including if you hit a deer. So take complete responsibility. It's a 2-3 month process to go through that, but just gladly pay it. Meanwhile, I need to get insurance. Well, I'm not going back to Allstate because they didn't treat me right the first time. Now that I'm an uninsured driver and they want even more money to take me back on, I'm not going back to them. And I go online, and what do I do? What's the commercial we all hear? Yeah, Geico. We all hear about Geico, and they're going to save us some money. Just a 15-minute phone call might save you some money on your car insurance. Well, they saved me a lot of money on my car insurance. I'm now a commercial for them because I go online, and I find out that I can have both of my cars insured for like 1/4 of what I was paying for one of the cars. And I was like, oh, this can't be right. So I got them on the phone. And they said, yeah, if you want both cars insured equally, the way you had the other one with the Allstate and all of that kind of stuff, it's only this. And I said, is this, you know, a few $100 per month? And they said, no, that's for 6 months. I'm going to save thousands of dollars per year being insured. No, I'm insured. Of course, that low, I just went ahead and paid for the entire year. And just said, how much do you want to pay? As long as we can pay in advance. So there's no concern about a bill being slipping through the cracks. And pay it. And all I can think about when I look at it from a more universal or kind of from the divine, if you want to look at it that way at all, is that somehow that deer was told, you run in front of this car, and you know, there was no time to move or anything because of the nature of it being late at night, you can't see it, it's in the country. It just basically, you see it, hit it, then it's over. And the deer gave its life to tell us, you don't have car insurance, you need to have the car insurance, but you could have been in a different kind of problem. You don't want to go there. Is that what you're referring to? Oh, what's another part? Jeez, I thought I was done. All right, jeez, I better have the tequila.
The deer story was a consequence of signs that you were ignoring with the cruise that you and Narissa were going to go on.
Oh, interesting. Oh, interesting. Boy, isn't it good to have her here to remind me of my life and my stories? That's very good. There is a part two to the story. She's absolutely right. You're absolutely right. You know, sometimes I go through all these things, and once I got it, I just dismiss it. It's gone. I forget it. The story's gone, which is not always the best because we can learn from all those stories. I want to write about them. And I did write a little bit about this on my blog. There's a blog entry that goes through all of this. But you're right. When I wondered about what happened to the bill that Allstate sent that I was supposed to get, that I was supposed to send out, it's very likely, I don't know it as a fact, but it's very likely that it arrived during the week we were on the cruise that we met you at. And I had been getting signals not to go on that cruise. This was an example of, I kept my word with the guy who asked me to go on the cruise. I could not think of any rational reason to tell him that I can't go on this cruise. All I could tell him was that I can't go on this cruise because it doesn't feel right, which he would not have accepted. I mean, if I had forced the issue, he would have accepted it, but he would have called me names, and it would have ruined the reputation. And I went on the cruise. We went on the cruise. We did not have a great time. One of the greatest highlights was meeting her right there, who's now become a friend. Well, see, look at that. You know, there's still all these wonderful benefits that took place, and we're very grateful for that. But we did not enjoy the cruise. The seminar leader had rearranged things, so all the speakers were forced to do things in the very first day, and it was supposed to be spelled out over or shared over a week-long period. So all in all, we did not like the cruise. We don't want to go back on the cruise, especially on that cruise line, especially for that seminar promoter, the whole thing. Had we not gone on the cruise, had I had listened to my intuition, those feelings that were saying, don't go, we're trying to tell you, don't go, I went anyway. Had we stayed, I would have probably seen that bill, probably would have paid the bill. Deer wouldn't have had to give up its life. We wouldn't have been in a car accident. All of this, of course, obviously I admit that's speculation, but that's the way I piece this together. That makes sense to me. And this does go back to listening to the messages all the time. Uh-oh, I must have forgotten something else, because Narissa, who was on the cruise, and Narissa, who was also in the car, has something to add. I might as well leave.
I am just remembering that we did our little ritual. There's two ways to go back home at night.
Yeah.
We can either do the freeway, the I-35 way, which was jam-packed full of 80-mile-an-hour semi-trailer trucks and stuff, or we could do the back way. Well, usually, since we know deer are running around at night, we do the freeway drive home from Austin to Wimberley. But this time, we both felt confident that we should be going the back way. So I see that in my head as something really bad may have happened to us had we taken the freeway way home, because ideologically that would have been the safer route because we wouldn't have hit a deer most likely on I-35. So, but we both felt strongly to go the back way that night.
Suzanne, have I covered it all now? She keeps records. She's got a perfect memory. I mean, yes.
Well, I think we talked about this at lunch, that I used to do animal communication and healing. So I would tell you absolutely 100% my belief is that all the animals you interact with, there's a reason for both of you. It's no different than the person you interact. You both have a reason. The animals are the same way. Absolutely.
Wow. Okay, other questions? Comments?
I was driving two winters ago up island on Martha's Vineyard, snow everywhere. A huge buck came over the crest into the road, and there were big drifts, and I knew there was no way I could avoid it. And I have a truck, but it was a huge five-point buck. And in that instant, I said, please, God, either let him somehow miss me or kill him instantly. And the deer went under the truck, which is quite a trick for one with that big rack, never did any damage to the truck, and rolled off to the side, died instantly. And later I found out after I reported it that a family who had been really hungry got the deer.
Wow. That's a very different kind of story. Yes. I loved it. Okay, there's a couple of different ways we can go here. We're going to wrap up at 5, so we've got time. First of all, I have more surprises for you. Yes. Oh, you like surprises? Anybody not like surprises? Kind of, if you don't like surprises, I can tell you what it is, so it won't be a surprise. And then you'll feel better. I have two guest speakers, and I'm not going to tell you who they are, but you will hear them tomorrow, just in case, I don't show up. So I've kind of banked myself and covered my corners here. So I have two guest speakers tomorrow. I also want you to know that I can teach you a meditation technique right now, if you want to know it right now, that Dr. Len taught me. It's based in Ho'oponopono. It's very easy. It's very breath-oriented. And it's something we can do before I give you some time to write in your magic journal, because I would really like you to do it while we're all together, and I'm going to do it with you. So we're all together in this energy vortex, so to speak, and maybe we can all be in alignment and supporting each other, not knowing what our intentions are, but it's supporting each other and going in the same direction and sending them on up. So I can do that before or after we do that kind of this writing journal. And before I tell you what the meditation thing is, I'd like to know what you think meditation is. What is your definition of meditation? He says, listening to your thoughts. Standing in the space, being, silencing your mind. Silencing your mind gets two votes. Silence. I don't know anybody who's just been silent. I understand where you're coming from, but I don't know anybody who's just been silent. For me, meditation is simply a t-shirt I used to wear, meditation, am I spelling that right? Meditation is not what you think. Meditation is not what you think. I've always loved that. That was a t-shirt I bought 20 years ago. I love the double message in it. Meditation is not what you think, meaning that it means something else. But it also means that if you're thinking, you're not meditating. The meditation is behind it. And again, this is even going deeper with the Ho'oponopono. They want you to go past even what you are watching, the thinking, to being that whiteboard, the zone, whatever you want to call it, that's behind the witness. You want to go to source. That's where you want to go with the meditation that I like to teach and I like to do. Talk about a stress buster. You know, there is no stress if you're at that state. I spoke at a seminar 10 years ago, and there was a psychic there who said that the way she meditates is to get so quiet within herself that she can hear her own heartbeat. And I've always loved that phrase because I thought, geez, if I could hear my own heartbeat, I must really be silent. I must really be quiet within myself. You know, most of the chatter must be gone in order for me to tune in to that deep of a level. So these are all fingers pointing towards the moon, so to speak. We want to go in that direction. We want to go to source. The meditation technique is very simple. You sit right exactly where you're at right now. But what you're going to do is take your fingers, these two index fingers here, you're going to touch together with your thumb. Okay, so you have that concept. So what you're going to do next is you separate and do that within each other. So you're grasping within the circle. Okay? The two index fingers just grasp in the circle. Make sense? And you sit where you're at? It can go either way. Yeah. Whatever feels comfortable for you. Yeah. And what you would do is close your eyes, and you're going to breathe in slowly to the count of seven. Once you've done that, you will hold your breath to the count of seven. Once you've done that, you will release your breath to the count of seven. Once you've done that, you will hold your not having any breath for the count of seven. Then you will repeat the process. And you're supposed to do this 9 times. So it only takes a few minutes, but it's a very quieting activity. Any questions about it? If not, go ahead and do it. So whenever you're ready, whenever you're done with that, what I invite you to do is to open up your magic journal and to have fun. Just to write down for your eyes only what you would welcome into your life experience if it fell out of the clear blue sky. And anything goes. It can be in any category, it can be in all categories, whatever feels inspired to you. So I would go ahead and spend some time doing that. And just let it be fun. Get into the energy of it. Remember to write down as if it's already happened. It's over. You're celebrating it. It's accomplished. The deal is done. Feel it. Write it with some vivid imagery. Get into the experience of it already having passed. And just have fun with it for a few minutes.